Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, Zion Eor, 19th of April, Harav David Abikasis, Messages in Nature.
Shalom Aleichem, Bezrat Hashem Yisbarach. If I may read to you a Rambam. In Hilchos, right at the beginning, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, and the Rambam says as follows. He achi haderech le'ahavasoi ve'yiraso. How can a person come to love God and fear God? B'sha'ashi is boinen ha'adam b'ma'asav u'bruav. If a person contemplates at the works of God and his creation, haniflaim, which are wonders, hagedoinim, tremendously great, ve'yir emihem chokmato, and he starts realizing what a great wisdom there is in his creation, she'en la erech ve'lo ketz, there is nothing comparable to the wisdom of God in his creation, and there is no limit, it's infinite, miyad u'oyhev u'mishabeach u'mifa'er u'mitaveh, immediately he will start loving God, he will praise God, he will glorify God, and he will desire, a great desire, ta'ava gedoyla, leda Hashem ha'gadol, to know God better. Kemo she'amar David, tzama nafshi le'elokim le'elkai. I have a great, my soul has a great desire to come close to God. U'kshmehashev b'devarim ha'elu atzmam. So when you contemplate nature and science, miyad hu nirta la'achoyrav. The minute you realize the wonders of God, you will be shaken backwards and you'll have fear of God. I will realize how insignificant a human being is in this great scheme of God. So compared to Hashem Yisbarach, our mind is nothing. Kemo she'amar David, ki yireh shamecha, when I see the heavens, ma'aseh etzbeotecha, the work of God's hands, ma'enosh ki tizkeren, what is a human being? I should remember a human being. He then goes on and repeats more about it in Perek Gimel of Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, but I'll stop there. So comes a Ramban, Nachmanides, and he wrote a drasha called Tamim Tihem Hashem Elokecha. And in it, he also talks about a similar subject of contemplating the wonders of God's creation to come to recognize God, but he adds a certain condition. And he says that if a person has no Torah and no mitzvahs, and no emun in Hashem, if he contemplates nature and science, he will not come to recognize God. Faket. He will become a greater atheist. As we can see today in our generation, there are so many scientists who are atheists, and they know such wonders of creation, yet they don't recognize God. So what makes you recognize God by looking at nature is if you have a background of Torah and Emunah already. If you don't, unfortunately, the Ramban explains that the Yetzer Hara will get inside a person, and the Yetzer Hara will affect his brain and his mind, and he will divert his way of thinking and will not let him see the divine in God's creation. Faket, he will let him see the opposite to it. If I may share with you in Perek Shira is a baraita that it looks at nature and tries to learn from nature how to praise God and how to come closer to God. In Perek Shira, there are 85 items of nature that Perek Shira ascribes to it a praise of God. If I may share with you Nachash, what a snake teaches us. The Nachash says as follows. The Nachash praises God and says, Soimech Hashem lechol hanoiflim v'zokef lechol hakfufim. God supports all those who have fallen down and he raises up those who are bent over. Whether the Perek Shira, whether it means that the actual items in nature or animals praise God, I won't go into that area of debate, but suffice it to say that if one looks at it, you could learn Musar from it. So the Nachash, who told us that Hashem is the one who makes people rise from being fallen down and makes them straight when they're bent. The Gemara in Masechet Brachos, in the Dinim of the Amidah, when it talks about the need to bow down in the Amidah, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Bet says as follows: Amar Rava Bar Chinina Saba Mishmei Derav. So Rava Bar Chinina Saba said in the name of Rav, Hamispalel Kishehu Koirea Koirea Bebor. When a person is davening and he's about to bow down, he bows down by the word Boruch. That's in Ovois. And then again at the end in Moedim, in Hodos. So we bow down at Boruch. Ukshehu zokef, zokef bashem. And when we stand up straight, we do so when we come to the name of God. Amar Shmuel, maita amade Rav. So Shmuel says, what's the reason of Rav? Dichtiv Hashem zokef kufufim. Hashem is the one who raises you up. So when you come to his name, you stand straight. Rav Sheshet ki kara kichiv kihizra. So Rav Sheshet said, how do you bow down? And he says, kichizra, which Rashi explains, shevet biyad adam v'chovto klape mata bebatahad. You have a rod in your hand and you put it down. So in other words, you bow down in one straight bow. However, when you raise yourself up, kika zakiv zakiv kechivya, but when you rise up, you rise up like a snake. Rashi says there, what does it mean you rise up like the snake? The snake doesn't rise up immediately, very quickly. Benachas. Roisho tehillah. First, he lifts his head up, and then the body. Ve'har kach gufo, shelo, why, says Rashi, shelo tira'e keriato alav kimasui. So that it shouldn't look like bowing down to God is a burden. So you do it slowly. I don't particularly want to rise up. I want to be bowing down to God. Kechivya, like the snake. And it does it slowly. The Gemara again, in Brachos further on, in Lamed Dalet, describes a little bit more the inyan of bowing down to Hashem. Tanu Rabbonin, Daf Lamed Dalet, Tanu Rabbonin, Elu Brachos She'Adam Shoheh Bahem. These are the Brachos that a person bows down. The Avos Tehila Basoif, in the Brachos of Avos, Ubehoda and in Moedim and Simshalom Tehila Basoif, beginning and end. So now the Gemara is going to and explain and make a distinction between three different classes of people. Het Yoid Kimoshaman, an ordinary Yid, he bows down as we've already described. Kohen Gadol, Besov kol brocha. The Kohen Gadol has to bow down in Shmone Esre at the end of every brocha. Hamelech, if there is a king, techilas kol brocha ubrocha besov kol brocha brocha. A king has to bow down at the beginning of every brocha in the Amidah and at the end of every brocha in the Amidah. What do we learn from here? Says Rashi. Kol mashu gadol biyoyse. So the greater you are, the more you have to submit and subjugate to God. So an ordinary Yid does it four times. A Kohen Gadol, 18 brachas, 19 brachas, he does it 19 times. A king, double. So the greater you are, the more submission and humility you've got to show to God. And an ordinary year does it less. Then he goes on to explain, the Gemara goes on to explain what is actually the bowing down. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim used to prostrate themselves completely flat on the ground. And that was the greatest submission and subjugation and humility in front of God. Now the question is, why do we learn these lessons from the Nachash? And the Gemara tells us like this. In Baba Kama, in Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says, a person who refuses to bow in front of God, to subjugate himself to God, and have that humility in front of God. So the Gemara says, after many years after he dies, his skeleton, his shidra, will become a Nachash itself. And Rashi explains, one of the explanations that is given is that he'll come back in a Gilgul and a snake to teach him what happened to a snake. Now if we look at what happened to the snake, and while we're using the snake as the lesson that we can learn from the snake, is obviously we know the story of Chava and the snake, and the snake appeared to Chava and convinced Chava that she doesn't have to obey God, and whatever God told her is not right, because look, he pushed her and she touched the tree and you didn't die. And as you told me, you were told that God said that you would die if you touched the tree, because God never said that. It was Adam who told, Adam added to it. And he convinced Hava to eat from the tree. What's the meaning of this story and what's it all about? And why was the snake punished? We're told afterwards that the snake is punished, and the snake is punished, and the snake had legs. Some say it even had arms. And now it became a creature that crawls on the ground. So some of the Mefarshim say like this, that the snake really was created superior to all other creatures. And it was created to serve mankind, so that mankind is free to serve God. So really, mankind are Kohanim. They're created only to serve God. The snakes had legs and arms and could communicate even. And they were then made in order to serve mankind so that mankind can serve God, be devoted to God. So really the snake became a Baal Gaiva. It realized it was superior to all other creatures in the world. It had abilities that other creatures did not have. And he said, why should Adam have Hava? I want Hava. And at that point, the Satan came into the snake. So really, who is guilty? The Satan or the snake? The snake had Gaiva to start with. The Satan and the Yetzer Hara came into it because it had already that Gaiva. So the snake is the one who deserves the punishment. And therefore the snake became the creature that it is today. So you can see that the whole lesson from the snake is that because of the Gaiva it had, the arrogance it had, and refused to subjugate to God, that it ended up in the way it ended up. So therefore, when we are serving God, we then emulate the bowing down and the subjugating to God and the anivus and the humility to God like the snake. So one of the lessons of the snake really is humility and subjugation to God, because of the story at the beginning of the Chumash in Bereishis that we learn from the snake. There are obviously many other Mefarshim who in Perek Shira, who come along and they learn, and they want to learn other lessons from the snake. And the truth is, there's many more lessons we can learn from the snake. One of the other lessons we can learn from the snake is the kindness of God. Although God punishes, he has tremendous care and kindness, and he cares even for his shoyim. The snake is a rasha, what it did, the gaiva it had. Yet, when God punished the snake, God made it that the snake would be easy to find food, and you might think, no legs, no hands, he won't be able to walk. But the snake has abilities of moving much greater than other creatures in nature. That's the kindness of Hashem. So in other words, what's the lesson of the snake? Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noifim. God supports those who have fallen down. A snake can climb up a tree exceedingly easy. And the way that the snake, I mean, if you want to study scientifically how a snake moves, a snake has scales. And the scale, as it moves along and it bends itself along, the scales catch on the ground and then it pushes itself. So it's got amazing ways of a snake of moving. It can just bend its body and push itself, even without using scales. Amazing ways. If you study how a snake moves, you will realize that although God punished the snake and humiliated the snake, yet the Almighty has tremendous rahmanus in it. And that is a lesson. Soimech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim, zokef Hashem l'chol ha'kifufim. And one could go on and learn tremendous, many more other lessons in the Mefarshim in there. If I may, I'll share with you another creature in Perek Shira. And I've taken the last creature in Perek Shira, and that is the dog. And it says as follows. Kelavim Oimrim. Dogs, what do they say? What do they teach us? Bo nishtachave v'nikra'a nivrecha lifnei Hashem Yisrael. Let us go down, let us bow down, and let us prostrate ourselves. And it gives you three ishtahave, nichra, and nivricha. So one is bending down, one is completely prostrating, kneeling on the floor, and the other one is flat on the floor. In other words, all the ways of that they used in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Kohanim used to use, are all mentioned here by the dog. Lifnei Hashem Osenu, in recognition that Hashem is our creator. Now why does a dog teach us this? The Gemara in Hoyrios teaches us that if we look at creatures and animals in the world, especially domestic animals, we will see that the greatest of all animals who recognizes its owner is a dog. And the Gemara quotes there, Hakelev makiret kono vehatul enu makiret koino. The Gemara says there, a dog recognizes its owner, a cat does not. And the Mefashim goes on to explain, cats are faithful to the place where they live. It doesn't recognize the owner. Anybody in that house, the cat will be friendly with. It recognizes where it lives. It makes a place like that. So do donkeys and horses, the cows. They recognize the place where they live. They know they have food there. But the dog is different. Mefashim said the dog, if the owner goes, the dog goes with the owner. It's very different to a cat. So the dog will follow the owner everywhere. Now, why do we need to learn this from the dog? Because at the end of Perek Shira, there is a medrash that tells us a story of the Talmud of Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa, Rabbi Yeshaya. And Rabbi Yeshaya, the Talmud of Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa, had a big question. He wanted to know Why should be the concluding song of the whole of Perek Shira a tremendously holy Perek Shira, exceedingly holy? Why should be the dog the concluding song of Perek Shira? And why should the dog in any way be one to teach us anything? Why? Because he quotes from the prophet Yeshaya that he describes dogs, hakelavim, as a nefesh. They're brazen, they're arrogant, they want something, they'll fight for it and they'll bark till they get what they want. That's the nature of a dog. And in fact, if we look at it from a mystical point of view, the dogs attract Tumah. They attract the Satan. And if we look in Mitzrayim, when God destroyed all the deities of the Egyptians, he left one that he did not destroy. And what was that deity? Baal Tzephon. What is Baal Tzephon? Baal Tzephon, you can still see it if you go to Egypt to visit the antiquities and the places in it. Baal Tzephon was a half-human, half-dog. In other words, a human with a dog on top. And they worshipped this as a deity. They worshipped the dog as a deity. So you can see that the dog attracts a lot of tumor. How can the dog come to teach us such a holy thing that we submit to God and are faithful to God in such a way like a dog is to his owner? And the dog seems to have completely contradictory characteristics. On the one hand, arrogant and brazen and determined to get what he wants. And on the other hand, submits to its owner and is faithful to its owner. Because of these contradictory characteristics, this is how God created the dog, that we can learn from the dog. Even if a person has the worst middos in the world, he still has to submit to God and subjugate his middos. And there is no excuse, whatever middos a person has got, and he's not been able to correct his middos, he still has to subjugate himself to Hashem. And a malach came and told Rabbi Yeshaya, he said to him, please don't ask these questions anymore. These are secrets of the Almighty. And then he gave him a few things that he revealed to him. And he said to him, despite the tumor of this animal, yet, how do you make a Sefer Torah? How do you make tefillin and mezuzah? You've got to take leather and you've got to tan the leather. In olden days, how did you do it? You did it, unfortunately, with the excrement of dogs. It seemed dogs have a certain chemical, I think it's nitrogen, that they have in their excrement that is very good in actually tanning the leather and make it into parchment. Today we don't do that. Today we use chemicals. But in olden days, if you see a Sefer Torah going back a few hundred years ago, you will see that the parchment is very dark because the way they made it was completely different. Today, we use chemicals. Our parchment is beautiful and bright and white color. But in olden days, that's how they made. Now, every day we put on tefillin and mezuzahs and Sefer Torah, the holiest things in Yiddishkeit. And yet, where do they come from? We use the dog's excrement to make it. It's incredible. From one extreme to the other extreme. And that's why the dog, in many ways, are teaching us these two opposites. How a person can be completely one opposite and yet subjugate himself to Hashem. This is one of the lessons we learn from a dog. It's interesting, going back, because the dog and the snake have a lot in common, in the sense that they were both arrogant and both mishtahave nefra, they were both doing this, teaching us a concept of bowing down to God and subjugating to God. It is interesting that when Moshe Rabbeinu first came to Paro, and Hashem said to him, when you come to Paro, and Paro asks you for a sign, what do? Take your matzah, take your rod, and put it on the ground and it will become a snake. Why? It could have become anything else. It could have taken the rod and become a lion, and it would be more frightened than a snake. But no, God had a lesson for Paro. Paro was arrogant. He was the source of all the tumor. Like the dog and the snake, arrogant and tumor. And Paro was being taught the lesson that the snake was punished for his arrogance. You, in the end, with your arrogance and your refusal to submit and subjugate to God's will, you will, in the end, be like the dog and like the snake. And you will have, in the end, to be subjugated to God, whether you like it or not, which we know that in the end, Paro, when he came to Kiryat Yamsuf, we hold, according to the view, that Paro did not die in Kiryat Yamsuf, but saw what happened, that he, in the end, was the one who said that Hashem is superior and the one who is controlling everything. And that lesson we learn from the snake, and we learn it from the dog. So you can see the whole of Perek Shira is totally based of looking at nature, not only animals, looking at anything in nature and learning from nature divine lessons to enable us to accept Hashem and have faith in Hashem and be able to praise God and be faithful to Hashem.